City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and it is Wednesday, July 3rd. And because it's a Mandan City Current, I'm here with Jim Neubauer from the City of Mandan.
Good morning, Mary, and welcome to the 4th of July week.
Yeah, in here Mandan, we are. So you're in the thick of it already.
We are right in the middle of it. Yep.
And we're here to talk about the action of the City Commission meeting last night. But before we do, we should talk about, you know, the gorilla in the room, I guess. And that is
parade, rodeo, art in the park, pick your favorite. There's
Mandan's
a lot of activities
moment
going on.
Moment to shine in the 4th of July. I mean, you're kind of the leader in these in this holiday, no doubt. And a lot of history behind the rodeo.
Tons of things going on this week. And our main message this year is to arrive early at your destination and stay late. And because there's a lot of road construction between Bismarck and Mandan. And please, you know, we have maps on the cityofmandan.com. We have maps on our City of Mandan Facebook page. And please take a look at those driving routes. And I hope there will be some changes this year, but we want to make sure that everybody is aware of, you know, like we say, arrive early and stay late.
And you've done a good job. The city or your department's done a good job getting the information out. I know, again, you mentioned your website. You've got the maps, Facebook page. I saw it this morning on KFYR News had a story on this. This it's important because traffic is always pretty heavy during this parade, especially before the and after the parade. So it's going to be even more so. So like you said, leave early.
It's hectic out there. And like we say, we don't want to say leave early. We want to say arrive early and stay late. We don't want you to leave early. Leave your house early. And like you said, there's a lot of things going on in town. Mm-hmm. You know, tomorrow the parade starts at, I believe, 10 o'clock. For those folks who used to or do frequent watching the parade on Memorial Highway or the Strip, be aware that there will be no cars on the north side of the Strip because that will be open to traffic. Again, just because of the construction on I-94 and in between town, we had to make some changes this year. So be aware.
Got to do it.
And like I said, we want everybody to still come over and have a great time.
Still
and,
a great parade.
You know, be
Parade's
safe.
Happening. Rodeo's happening, Art in the Park's happening.
Yep.
I thought it was interesting last night that Commissioner Rohr made a point to mention the Art in the Park in particular, that people really need to leave their dogs at home. This
Absolutely.
Is these are not events for animals.
And we've had discussions about that, and I know Commissioner Rohr is on the Art in the Park committee, and we encourage folks to leave your critters at home just because they probably will not be comfortable in all the crowds. And like I said, we've had, it's just the smart thing to do.
Right.
And
again,
leave them at home.
It's a congested event already. It just adds to the congestion. Yep. And I think a lot of people use those events to train dogs, but this is not appropriate. And it just adds to the some chaos for people. And there are, as we talked earlier, there are people who are very anxious about being around animals and dogs in particular. It's not fair to them. And it's certainly intimidating for small children when they're eye to eye with a canine.
There's so many small kids that are at the parade or in the park. And, and your kids may be just fine because they may be used to your dog or your dog may be used to them. But strangers, if like strangers are not used to your dog and how it behaves, and your dog is probably not used to how strange, not strange kids, but unfamiliar children and unfamiliar individuals are with dogs. And so, like I said, we just encourage you to, you know, keep them at home and bring them out some other day.
It's not just Art in the Park. It's all the events downtown.
A lot of walking trails
Bismarck
in Mandan
and
Bismarck.
Yep.
And, you know, if you need to take your dog for a walk, take
That's
him on a walking trail.
Absolutely. Yep. And you want to talk about a little bit about fireworks safety, too, before we get
Fireworks are allowed in Mandan on July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. 2nd and 3rd are from noon till, I think, 11 p.m. or midnight. Again, you can find this information on our website and on the 4th of July from noon until 2 a.m. on the 5th. So that does not mean you can shoot them off all day on the 5th. It's just for a couple hours on the 5th in the
Close
morning.
Close it down at that
and
time,
We find folks are generally pretty good. We know that our police are out there. It is a $75 fine we can issue on the spot if you're outside of those parameters. So again, be respectful of your neighbors, clean up your mess.
Up.
And like I said, for the most part, everybody is really good and respectful. Always, you do have those few that could ruin it for for the majority.
Well, and I think getting back to the canines, this is the time during fireworks season where animals are more often running away from their homes.
Yes,
and so put your animals in a secure place, both cats and dogs, and put them in a place where they feel safe and aren't going to be out there running around and be scared. So
good message for both canines and humans.
Absolutely. So,
not that we need to be in a cage, but
hunker down.
You know, be smart and be safe.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the meeting last night. Sure. There were a couple of items. One in particular, there was a public hearing, and I think that I pulled this one off. Mm-hmm. That was a public hearing, but there was no testimony, and it really it was unanimously approved by the City Commission, and it was the establishment of a columbarium at the Union Cemetery.
At our cemetery, we're looking at all kinds of ways to preserve the life of the cemetery, make it last longer, and things like that. So with the number of cremations is probably running about 50-50 now, we looked at different alternatives. Columbarium, in essence, we purchased one in our budget, and we will have it installed later this summer. It has space for 40 different urns.
It's a structure.
A structure that will hold an urn.
Okay.
And so there are pieces of slate on that structure that you can take out and have them engraved with your loved one's message and things like that. And the piece of slate goes back in. It's kind of like you're just tipping a gravestone up on, instead of horizontal, flat on the ground, it's now vertical.
Okay.
And I think there were, I can't remember how many high it goes.
I think we have a picture of that we could pop up. Yep. Thank you, Lloyd.
So that is our columbarium. Like. In, I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 high. And I think we have room for 40. Uh-huh. You know, so it's 5 high and 8
it's
wide.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we think it'll be great. Our plan is to...
a little green space within the cemetery where this will be placed.
Right. We've caught what they call the park, kind of right in the center of the cemetery where we have some flower beds and things like that.
That seems appropriate.
Our plan would be to, as the need grows and the need, if people like this option,
more
we would
can
add
be
more.
Added.
Yep.
Okay.
So we've tried to you know, kind of plan out that section to say it's not just one. There's room for plenty more of these, and we hope that they become a really nice option for folks because it certainly saves on our life at the cemetery and things like that. So it's a really good thing.
Makes sense. Again, unanimously approved, moves forward. That'll be implemented fairly soon.
Yep. Okay. I think that probably within the next month or so that columbarium will be in place.
Okay. One item on the consent agenda that I thought was interesting, but it was not pulled out for discussion last night, but it's a kind of a continuation of an issue that City of Mandan has been dealing with for a while, and you and I have talked about it more than once as well, and that's a property within the city limits that has been determined to be unsafe.
Correct.
And the it had many violations, and the city issued a communication with the owner and said, you have so many days to respond to this, and they did not. So now we've walked
kind of the non-technical terms. We've condemned the structure, which takes a while, and determined that it's unsafe. Mm-hmm. And the property owner was given 30 days in which to provide some proposal that it could be rehabbed, and then whatever financial backing they would have to rehab the property. Mm-hmm. We did not receive that. So now we are going out for bids for demolition of the structure and kind of a cleanup of that property, which we will do that. We'll probably get bids back in the first part of August. We do have to advertise for, 28 to 30 days. Okay. Commission will then probably get that the middle of August for their consideration.
It'll come back on their agenda.
Yep.
Okay.
Come back on the agenda. And then from whenever the award to the contractor happens, the contractor has, I think, 30 to 45 days to demo the property and, not only just the above ground, there's the foundation or what's left of the foundation, I should say, and, put fill in that so that if you wanted to come and build a house on that property afterwards, you certainly could. The costs of that demolition will be special assessed back to the property, and so that'll become part of the property, the current property owner's responsibility to pay.
Okay.
So, it's a long process the process of actually condemning a piece of property and giving the owner opportunities to, because like I said, maybe there's a way that it could have been rehabbed. In this case, that information was not brought forward to us.
OK.
Okay.
So it moves forward.
These are the next steps. And like I said, the message is it takes, there's a lot of hoops that have to be gone through from Custer Health to our building inspector, and everybody else needs to kind of get in this together.
Well, yeah. I would assume that the city doesn't like displacing a family in some way.
It's an unfortunate situation, but this is a process that we're going through right now on this property.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it again.
Yes.
Under new business last night, you had a Class E liquor license granted to Copper Dog, a new restaurant downtown Mandan, just opened, correct?
Exciting. This is a piece of property that was acquired through our remediation efforts, probably back in 2005. And we had installed some remediation wells in it and had leased the property to Huntington Books for quite a while. It was time to put the property out for sale where, all parties could bid on it.
Yeah.
The folks that were successful in the bid were the Alises and Mike Kennedy, and they bought the property from us. And now within a short few months, it seems like, they opened July 1st for the Copper Dog Cafe.
What a great evolution of a property that went from...
Went from a remediation site to, we were a bookstore for a while, and now it's a cafe, and
vibrant, and it looks really cool. I've seen pictures. I haven't been in there yet.
I've driven by a lot of people coming in and out of there and getting their taste buds filled with waffles.
And then that's what I was going to say is it's kind of a unique concept. It's correct. A coffee, really nice coffee shop.
Yep.
With waffles.
Coffee with waffles, and the liquor license last night was a Class E, so it's a restaurant license. And there, I think their plan is to do mimosas or Bloody Marys or
breakfast
cocktails.
Yeah, there you go.
And like I said, it's pretty exciting to have them opened up on July 1.
Yeah, good timing for them for the big events that are going on downtown. So that moved forward and unanimously to move that forward. A project that... came to the under new business as well is a establishment of a street improvement district, 16th Street Northeast, and this is an area that's close to the Starian Sports Complex.
Right, this project will this street construction would kind of split. If you're familiar with the Marathon Refinery's new administration building, the entrance on 16th Street would be directly south of that, so those two would line up. And then there's no street there right now. And the timing of this was to coincide with the old Red Trail reconstruction project so that, you would hopefully be able to take advantage of some economies of scale. If you have one contractor doing the street on Old Red Trail and you have one doing 16th, you're only paying one mobilization fee and same contractor, same engineer.
Well, and I think we should explain that there were two items on the agenda referring to this area, and one was to establish the street improvement district, which was passed unanimously.
Yes.
Okay. And then the second item was to... contract with KLJ for an engineering services.
Yep. The three affected properties here between the Mandan Park District, the Bob Cooper has purchased property on the east side. And then there's I believe it's the I-94 partnership group still has a piece of property in the middle. Those three property owners got together and said, hey, we want to create this district. We know the cost will be assessed to us. And in turn, here's the engineering firm that we want to do the work.
Yeah.
Commissioner Larson brought up, hey, should we be putting this engineering contract out for a request for proposals?
Which is fairly typical.
Fairly typical because we have the park district with roughly 50% of the property in here and public funds being involved. So a lot of discussion on that last night. The commission ended up tabling that issue. We will do some further research on it and bring that back for their consideration at a later date.
Just to make sure that is it appropriate action to move forward with KLJ or does it have to go out for an RFP?
Correct. So like I said, when questions like that come up and commission isn't, and we needed to do some additional homework.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We will do that.
It was a good discussion. And I know your city attorney, Amy Oster, got involved in that conversation as well. So she was unsure of a few things. Greg Welch chimed in, your finance director.
Amy chimed in. Justin chimed in. Have we done this in the past on other projects? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In a new development, in a kind of residential area or commercial area where you've got one developer, one property owner, and normally there's a three-way agreement entered where the owner, the engineering firm, and the city are all part of that agreement. Mm-hmm. The owner of the property can pick who they want to their engineering firm to do this.
Okay.
And, not that, the city has some oversight in there, making sure we're not getting charged, inappropriately for any services that are rendered. So that's always a consideration that's why we do have those three-way agreements.
Checks and balances.
Absolutely.
Yeah, makes sense. Under resolutions and ordinances, I thought this was really interesting. You created an addition to your city ordinances having to do with a special event permit that would allow the consumption and distribution of alcoholic beverages at certain special events.
At special events, and it's interesting. I know Bismarck has been going through the discussion on different, we've now into AA or BB or CC in the liquor license discussion. How many different kinds do we have? We here are adding the MPO license, which would stand for the Manhattan Progress Organization, because they would be the entity that would be able to apply for this permit. And in essence, there's a lot of words in the ordinance, but what it kind of boils down to is that the MPO could sell cups to a Class A liquor license holder or a Class WB, which would be kind of like your brewery, and sell plastic cups to them. In turn, that establishment could, you could buy a beverage in one of those establishments and go out into the street or into the public right-of-way or in the designated area and, drink a beer and walk around. And whether there's food trucks or things like that, that's part of the goal of this, is to, be a fundraiser for the MPO and allow that to occur, because we don't want bottles, we don't want cans.
Sure.
It has to be an approved cup through the MPO. And this, we've been talking about this idea for many years. Fargo, I believe, tried it last summer in a designated area. They, in conversing with their police and the event organizers, they didn't have any issues and people enjoyed it. So, we will try that for the main event. So if you're looking for the Grill Fest.
Okay. This is a new
name. This is a new name
for
the Grill Fest, is the main event. And that's what this license is kind of designated for. So again, we'll try it, see if it works. If it works, great. We, the MPO could do this for other events. But again, we want to make sure that it works first and we don't have any problems.
So the main event will happen August 8th and 9th.
Correct.
And this will, will apply for this special event permit at that time, or they did last night.
Yep.
That's what was approved for this particular event. But MPO will be able to use and apply for this special event.
It's kind of like having a large outdoor beer garden, only we don't have to set up the fences and all the other things for that.
Keep people in a cage.
So, and it, going that reference again, it will allow, some of the local establishments to take part a little bit more in that, and also assist the MPO. So,
well, as you travel, and many people do, to different cities for, and then you're at a festival or an event, it's pretty common, more often than not, I think, that you can walk around with a beverage, with a beer, usually beer, but, it doesn't seem to create any issues. I think North Dakota law is, or maybe it's city ordinance that has been required us to kind of keep that area of people that are consuming in a fenced area.
Right, in a fenced area so that your underage folks can't get in and things
Seems
like that.
Seems a little restrictive.
Again, you'll have a wristband, and I believe it's a wristband, and you'll have a designated cup.
But this is opening that door a little bit to allow people to purchase and consume within the confines of that event, and you'll have boundaries set up.
And I think they've already got the blocks listed out on where this can occur. And again, it is not so that you can walk into the bar, grab a beer, and go outside, sit in the chair, and have your can of beer or bottle of beer outside. And it's only for special events only. So this does not change our ordinances that say, hey, forever and ever you can do this. This is for special events only.
Correct. And through the MPO. Yeah.
Correct.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So a good change. It's kind of like, all right, we see this happening around the country where, we look at those things all the time. And what can we do to enhance our events? And this is one of those things that they're going to try. Grill Fest, sometimes you need to change what you're doing. Grill Fest is very popular and very successful. And this will be kind of a new twist to change it up a little bit.
Well, as I say, nudging the door open. But there's a number of controls put in place. Like you say, there'll be a wristband. It's a confined area.
Yep.
But just larger than it had been in the past. And, by allowing it only with the Man in Progress organization, which is your designated group that does all the events, and the Main Street area. Again, a lot of nice controls in place, and if things are working well, you have a way to change that. Yep. So it seems worth it.
Yeah,
and that passed unanimously as well.
Unanimously, and like I said, we were kind of watching Fargo and see how theirs went. It went very smooth, and we're going, okay, let's give this a shot here. If we have problems, doesn't mean we can't rescind and change the way we do things.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. I think it'll be a good change to this event. Yeah.
Then, and that's kind of the end of the the public business last night at the commission meeting. At that point, then you went into an executive session to talk about the litigation on the mural on...
Board went into executive session to, converse about the, like you said, litigation involving the Lonesome Dove right now and met with our attorneys and they were provided with some guidance and instructions and
not information we could share at this time. That's not appropriate. And that's why you go into executive session to have these conversations and protect them until they can become public.
There's a process that you need to go to.
Absolutely.
And there's only a few things you can go into executive session on. Obviously, pending and current litigation and negotiating strategy is one of those reasons.
Yeah.
And that's what we did last night. So we will move forward with that.
Take it forward.
Yep.
So that kind of wrapped up the evening last night, a little bit of business, but I thought we'd talk about real quick about the business pitch challenge. We'll talk about it again and again.
Talk about it several times until October 1st. Is that the deadline?
I think that is the...
You stumped me last time on that question, so...
application deadline is October 1st to submit your ideas for a business pitch, which is kind of like Shark Tank Mandan.
Shark Tank Mandan, and like I said, very successful last year, and like I said, we're looking forward to doing it again, and it's always interesting because we've got, I think, two businesses that were part
of
last year. One of them is Copper Dog Cafe, and I think Kids in Motion is another one that I think they came in second, but they are open now in the... is it called?
The former Brea, building.
Yes. Yeah. And so Kimberly Bloms is in there and starting that up. So
nice.
Yeah, it kind of gets people, I've been thinking
energized.
About doing this, about doing this, and here's a reason to get off the dime and get your plan and move it forward.
Tangible results are coming out of this, and it's all part of your development plan for downtown. So again, the October 1st application deadline, but all that information's on your website again, right?
You go to cityman.com under the business development section, it's all there, and the guidelines and the rules and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So, good. All right. And, obviously, again, I want to just stress that, while we are recording this on July 3rd.
Yes.
Parade, rodeo, art in the park, pick your favorite event. Several class reunions going on.
Yeah.
So encourage folks to come on downtown Mandan or out to the Dakota Centennial Park for the rodeo and have a good time.
Yeah.
One of the new things on the parade, you may see some of us wearing red shirts walking around the parade route with a 50-50. So we're doing a 50-50 raffle to benefit the Mandan Progress Organization. Again, the group that puts on these.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The goal is we've got 24,000 tickets printed, and in turn, we will give away two prizes. If we sell all 24,000, there would be two $6,000 winners.
Nice.
And, if we sell 20,000, there will be two $5,000 winners.
There you
go. If you see someone walking around on the parade route with a red shirt on, 50-50 on it,
How much are the raffle tickets?
Raffle tickets are $1 a piece.
A buck a piece.
And on the back of it, you have a coupon for, if you buy an entree at Bennigan's, you get a free appetizer up to $9, and also cup of coffee at the Cappuccino on Collins.
It's definitely worth it.
And if you plan on buying some, if it'll help you because you have to fill out your name and phone number if you have those address labels that you get in the mail all the time.
Oh,
bring those down here. It'll make everybody's life a little easier. And like I said, we're looking forward to it.
Do you know when they plan to draw for the raffle?
Drawing, I believe, will be at 5 o'clock on July 4th.
Oh,
at the band
okay.
show. We will announce the winners on our marquee at the east end of Main Street on okay. Facebook, on our Twitter, on all our social media accounts, and City Mandan. So a new idea, and we thought that there's a lot of people down there, and maybe we can do some good for some folks. And
good idea.
Like I said, I think it's a good fun. I will be down there, so if you want to buy tickets from me, feel free.
Sounds good.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say there's also another 4th of July event happening in our community, and that's
correct.
The big Capitol Mall symphony concert tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
They start playing at 9 p.m., and they'll play through the fireworks, and that's going on up at the Capitol Mall for okay. Bismarck Mandan Symphony is playing. So there's something for everyone, really a lot going on.
We've always said, if you can't find something to do in Mandan and Bismarck over the 4th of July
yeah.
celebration, you haven't looked hard enough.
Absolutely. So be safe, everybody,
yep.
with fireworks and on the river, especially this weekend. I'm sure it'll be active out there as well.
So. Right. And I think we won't be back till August.
Oh,
if I
that's
remember
correct.
Right. Because
yeah.
I think our,
we have a little bit of a break.
A little bit of a break. So.
All right. Sounds okay. good. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Thank you, Mary.
Appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of Mandan City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.